Let's check in with Paul Jones, Raptors radio voice. You know, we'll get to the Raps, but you were tweeting about it yesterday. You love the tournament. It's an awesome time of year. Do you hate the play-in games? I hate them. I can't stand them.
I like the play-in games. It's a cop-out for the committee because, and look, I'm old enough to remember when the tournament expanded to 48 and then 64. And like, what are we at now? Like 68 or something like that? Like, kill another week and go to 100.
Oh, no, nobody wants that. Then you got 13 and 22 teams in.
As Jim Valvano, the late Jimmy V, said, and the first time I met him, he worked with my brother. He said, hey, look, beware of the teams with two directions or a hyphen. And you get these places like Norfolk State and, you know, as we call them, Two Direction U and Small Brother State beating the Giants. And it's what makes the tournament great. But in all honesty, it's a lightning in a bottle situation, and that's what makes the tournament great. That it really does. I mean, a team gets hot, and you win, you know, 5-6 games, and you're the national champion. Well, think about it. In the pros, 5-6 games, like that's a week's worth of games. You know, so it's great though, and the good thing about it is, it captures the casual fan. There are some people around the office today at the Fan.
Yeah.
That wouldn't know if the ball was stuffed or pumped, but they've got a bracket sheet, and they're probably taking my wife's approach. You know, the duck has no chance against the bear, you know. Although my 16-year-old daughter did let out a scream, oh, no, when she found out that Gonzaga, Canada West U in Spokane, had to actually play against Okie State and Marcus.
Well, that's right. That's right.
She's not happy about that. She's like, what's with the committee? I'm like, chip off the old block. I've been yelling at them since 1970. So
one of the first travel trips I ever got when I was working in Detroit was to go to Milwaukee on the first Thursday when Michigan State was there. But I got to see Lamar Odom, right? I got to see Rhode Island. I got to see Eduardo Nájera and the Oklahoma Sooners. Like, it's amazing the names I remember.
Nájera almost got knocked out with the concussion.
Yes. Yeah. So explain what Buffalo will be like Thursday. And this is so fun. You get a good team in Ohio State that's going. Plus, you get Tyler Ennis from Syracuse playing at 2:45. Plus, you get Tyler Ennis' brother on the same day as a two seed, right, out of Maryland.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great experience. I mean, you know, Buffalo's nothing in terms of the drive. It's, what, an hour and change away from Toronto. Hey, my first travel experience with the tournament was, you know, after my brother doing a late show on another network, packing into a van with a couple of boys from the station and driving 9.5 hours overnight to Lexington, Kentucky in 89. And that turned out to be Michigan's run with Glenn Rice just after, you know, Bo Schembechler with those famous words, I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan, right?
Oh, amazing drama, firing Bill Frieder and
unbelievable,
and all that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you start to learn about other people. There was Mookie Blaylock from Oklahoma and, you know, Crotty and Stith from Virginia. And it's the way the tournament goes. There's something about the tournament that catches you, and you're hooked for life, whatever it is. And I, as I said, for me, it was, you know, back being a kid and watching Bob Lanier at the Bonnies in Little Three basketball, and he tore up his knee, and, you know, they end up losing to Jacksonville with Artis Gilmore. And you look back, and a Hall of Fame name. So it's great. If people have a chance, they should go to Buffalo. It's something
100%.
That should be on a sports fan's bucket list at some point, going to the NCAA tournament.
And I messed up, said Maryland, Dylan Ennis with Villanova and the Wildcats, and they've got Milwaukee in the late game out of the East region on Thursday. Paul Jones is our guest on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
So Raptors drop a rare home game yesterday, Paul, to the Suns, 121-113. They gave up 37 in the first quarter, and I mean, it was evident from the outset. I think we saw that with those Clippers games earlier this season, that the Raptors can play a lot of styles. That's not one that's really conducive to success for them.
No, it's not, Andrew. And, you know, I put both the stats out in the Dwayne Casey era. They're 74-30 when they hold teams under 45% and something abominable, 19-60. I don't even remember what the number was. I think, you know, it probably jumped off my Twitter page to make sure it wasn't retweeted. But you get into a game with a team like Phoenix or the Clippers that can go up and down, and it's the coaches, if you're Dwayne Casey, it's your worst nightmare because it's like playing in the playground. Defense is there, but nobody pays attention to it until you have to, and you kind of go up and down and back and forth.
It's Paul Jones joining us. Of course, Raptors lose to the Suns yesterday. All right, tomorrow I'm dying to get your take on Phil Jackson getting introed to run the New York Knicks. You were front and center when the Raptors beat the Knicks in the playoffs in 01. This is amazing. Since then, only 25 playoff games in 14 years, and they've only won 7 of them. So it's been bad for a long, 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 long time. What difference can Phil Jackson make? And I still think New York, like Toronto in hockey, is still a bit of a marquee destination.
Sure.
Someone might, in that big class of free agency for 15, say, I want in on that. I can be a big player there.
Yeah, I think, Greg, it brings them some credibility. Even though he hasn't done anything or he's never had this job, he's got 13 rings, right? He's, you know, 11 as a coach, a couple as a player. He's a guy that you look at and you say, well, look, let's give him a shot. And I think he brings some credibility there. And then it's about the decision-making and people allowing him to make the decisions and putting his people in place. You can't have one type of philosophy at the top, yet people underneath that aren't, you know, in line and in lockstep. He needs a coach that's going to, you know, and a general manager that are going to fit his kind of patient, you know, team first style, not the individualistic me and I need my numbers and I need my touches. Look at how he convinced Michael and Kobe and Shaq and people like that to, you know, get with the team thing.
Can you sell that on Carmelo? Do you think he wants to build around Carmelo?
Well, if Carmelo, let's play amateur psychologist here, guys. It's if Carmelo wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first line he says to Carmelo is, look, you've done it your way, and you're a punchline right now. Okay? Do you want to win? Yeah, I really want to win. No, do you really want to win? Because if you really want to win, here's what we're going to do. And if you want to do this, fine. If you don't, leave, and we'll build a team and we'll do it another way. But this is what it's going to take to win, right? It's, you know, it's classic, right? You want to lose the 20 pounds? Yeah. Well, then stop eating the chips. No, I love my chips. Well, then you're not going to lose the 20 pounds. I mean, Carmelo has to buy in. And you know what? If, like you said, Greg, they're a destination. If they have money, and they certainly do have the money and the resources and probably not afraid of the cap the way other teams are, although it is more punitive now, they can go and find people. And Phil Jackson brings them some credibility.
See, March Madness, St. Patrick's Day, and a diet. That's not a good combination. Those don't work. There's too
light
many.
Beer. Yeah. Light beer.
Thanks, Paul, for this. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas.